Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. Mm-hmm. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. And maybe you're watching us on YouTube, Facebook, or stream.afa.net. If you're new to the show, welcome. We are a podcast, radio, video show for couples struggling with infertility and miscarriage. And if God's just, your journey's a little different, the way you're building your family and you're clinging to him, we are here to walk alongside with you.
Yeah, we hope that that's what we can be, and that we've been blessed to be a part of now so many stories that we've gotten to hear through answered prayers, a lot of answered prayers in ways that people didn't see coming. I was actually with a girl just earlier who adopted a baby a few weeks ago after, I think, four miscarriages and almost 10 years of infertility. And so what a blessing it was to then hold that baby and to look at that sweet baby girl. So we'll have to have her back on for an update. But right now we have a familiar name and face around Hannah's Heart on joining us for the first time we've ever done it on Zoom.
We're so excited, y'all. New technology for us. So we're excited.
So nerdy over here to be so excited about Zoom. But we have, I want to call you my friend, Jane Johnson. She is an author, well-known author in the infertility world, with a special book to me, Mercy Like Morning, and she also spoke at our first ever Hannah's Heart Conference in January of this year. And so, Jane, thank you so much for coming back on today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so fun to be back and, like, actually being able to see your face. It's so fun. I love it.
I'm so glad. I'm honored that you're the first one to get to do this. I mean, what?
I love what it so thing. Much. It means so much. It's so special.
We were talking off air at the conference. It was such a great fit to hear the way you spoke into women's lives and encouraged even Anne and I. Like, I was like taking notes.
Yes.
Like crazy. And your other book sold out in like 7 seconds at the conference.
At the conference.
So helpful.
You were like, that was the first.
I remember watching someone get up at the back, like I was mid message, and somebody got up in the middle of the message to go get it.
Like,
and she like
waste no time
to go make sure that she got it. And then go back to her seat.
So good. It was such a blessing to me and such a full circle moment to get to meet you. And my baby girl Jane is named after my grandmother. But when I was reading through your book, I just somehow there was that connection of like, God, I want my Jane, and to know that that was your name. I just thought, I don't know, it's just a God wink, you know, throughout infertility. I feel like you kind of have to strive on those things of like little bitty reminders of the Lord that he's being faithful through your wait. And so anyway, such a special thing to me. But we're actually not here to talk about that special book today.
Another one, huh?
Yeah. If you don't mind, give us a little snippet of your family and why you're part of the infertility community, world, whatever. And then let's get on to your book today.
Sure. My family snippet is I am a miracle mama to three babies. And I'm part of this whole world because it took us a full decade, exactly a full decade to get pregnant the first time. We never got pregnant once. We never miscarried. And God told us to do nothing but wait for his miracle. No interventions, no IVF, no Clomid, nothing but just wait and watch for him to do his miracle. And we waited for 10 full years. And then on the 10-year anniversary of when we first started trying is when we actually conceived our first. And then we had three babies in 36 months. And now they are 6, 7, and 9.
That's
and
amazing.
My life is
a
chaos.
Three babies in 36 months. Such big life changes so close together.
And of course, we've had you on the show to tell a little bit more of that story. And if we'll try to drop that link in the comments if you guys want to hear a little, all of those miracles, a little longer version of it.
Yeah, because you do need to hear that. And so, you said six. How old now?
six, seven, and nine.
Six, crazy. Seven, nine. So busy. very close together. Full summer, huh?
Yeah, the two oldest ones are, the boys are exactly 2 years apart. And then when my middle was 5 months old, we found out that we were pregnant again. And I was like, okay, God, we can stop answering blessings. All those backlogged prayers.
check.
Like, yeah, so I had my daughter 4 months before I turned 40, and I did not want to be pregnant at 40. So we kind of slipped
snuck
that
it in there.
The geriatric mom club.
I'm a member.
That's so wild. Oh my goodness. Well, let's talk about what you're here to talk about today. Let's talk about your new book coming out July 29th, 28th?
28th.
Ah! Okay. But we can all, which we'll get into why you should pre-order it, but you can pre-order it right now. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So get in, because this is different. It's not just your average book. It's not some Bible study that, like, you've shared everything that, you know, and your experiences. Like, you're, like, wanting women to dig into their scripture, to your their Bibles, and find what it's saying for themselves, right? So explain what that means.
So it's a Bible study commentary. And so the Bible study part isn't your it's not your typical Bible study where you're gleaning, you're answering questions that have already been solved for you, basically. I'm not like guiding you to the answer to show you all of like the nuggets right away. The Bible study part is before you even get to the part that I've written for you, I want you to read the passage, to look at cross references, to look up word definitions, to do all of the digging on your own. And then I have helps throughout the book of like, if you need to know how to look up a word definition, go to this link on my website. There's all kinds of different prompting areas to like educate you in that. But at the beginning of every single passage, there's 2 to 3 questions that get you digging in the right direction of like, hey, pair this verse with this verse from the Psalms. When you put those two verses together, how do they create a more beautiful, complete picture of what the passage is saying than what it says without them paired together? And so you see the beauty of letting scripture explain itself first and learning the art of looking up the original word definitions so that you're not going to like a typical Bible study question that says, what do you think Paul is saying about this? Well, it's not about what you think Paul is saying. You have
what
the
is
actual
he saying?
Answer to what Paul is saying because you're looking at the context, you're looking at the word definition, you're looking at the cross references. So it's putting all of that effort first. And then after you spend the whole week going day by day, digging through the passage, then at the very end of the week, if you do it the right way, and if you're not the person that flips and looks at the answer at the end of the book before you do it the right way, then you supplement at the end with my biblical commentary. So I have 2 sections where I go through the whole technicalities of the linguistics and historical context and all those things. And then there's a separate part about making it personal to you and how to apply it to your life. So that's kind of the basic breakdown of it.
Tell us, it's awesome. I mean, and it's like the first of its kind. Yeah. Like especially like geared towards women, right? Tell us which books that you're focused on.
So this book, Worthy, is through Paul's prison letters. So it goes through Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. So if you basically started the study in the fall, if you're doing like a group Bible study with your church or something, you started it in the fall, this would take you all the way through the spring. So you have a built-in 9-month basically study plan. You know exactly what you're going to be studying for the whole school year, basically, with built-in study breaks and things. So it's not just like an 8-week Bible study, a 9-week Bible study where you're like pendulum swinging from study to study and you don't know what to do in between. This is taking 9 months to train you how to study the Bible on your own so that you're not dependent. It's like I'm shooting myself in the foot because I'm trying to get you to be not dependent on Bible studies, but then I'm also writing books that I want you to buy and like, you know, biblical commentary. So it's kind of a catch-22.
This is so important. And your tagline of dig your well, like you are teaching them how to dig into God's word. Yeah. And that's something that the enemy has put a lot of intimidation to women in today's culture to say, oh no, you have to go to seminary. If you, I mean, a lot of people think, oh, you a word study, how, what do I do? Like they don't, they're probably very intimidated into like, I don't know how to do what you're saying. Why do you think the enemy uses that tactic? And what do you think the average Christian woman that has never done her own deep dive, what are the obstacles that they think and feel in studying God's word?
Mostly it's the fact that nobody's teaching them
how to do
it. They didn't even know where to start. Mm-hmm. So they feel like we've created this dependency on somebody else to do the digging for mm-hmm. us. And that's mm-hmm. where Satan is happy, because mm-hmm. we are listening to somebody else's voice mm-hmm. and not going straight to God's voice. Not to say that God's not speaking through these Bible teachers. He absolutely is. But he's speaking to the Bible teachers, who are then speaking to you. Mm-hmm. And then it's third party information. When mm-hmm. we can eliminate that and learn how to recognize God's voice speaking in our lives mm-hmm. first, and go to that first, and then use the Bible teachers and the insights that they have been trained to dig up as a supplement of things that we might have missed. So
that's so good.
Yeah.
I had a specific question. I'm literally blanking. Okay. You talked in your Instagram post about your book, where just like showing little snippets of it. It talked about a background check. What is that?
So before you start any book of the Bible, and all four books that go through Worthy, before you even start digging into Ephesians, there's a section where I call it the Bible book background check, where you're getting the well-rounded information of all the context, who wrote the book, who it was written to, what's the historical context, there's a series of prompted questions to get you to get a really good grounding and understanding and footing mm-hmm. on the book that you're digging into, so that you're getting off on the right foot. So you're grounded in the right place, you're anchored in the right section of history, and that you can use that as an underlying platform to then inform the rest of your digging. So if you're digging up something and you're thinking, oh, this is applying to this Greek goddess or whatever, but then you go back to the actual city that this is taking place in and look at the history, and they're not actually worshiping this Greek goddess, then you're like, you know, you're off base. And so it kind of helps to get you tethered to the right context and the right information, so that as you're kind of going out and float, it's like you're on an inner tube, but you have this string that's anchored over here in the rocks. You can kind of float in the safe area, but you know that you're tethered to the context and the history and all of those things.
Right. Because especially with these are letters that were written to real people, real places, right. real cultures, that if you don't understand that
context, because they're so different.
Yeah. You're going to miss huge aspects and possibly even misinterpret God's intent. Right. And what I love is that you're bringing this to the average woman to be able to do this, because so many of us, we just read a verse and we can take it out of context and put it on a nice mug because it sounds good.
Right.
You know,
right.
We're like, oh, that's not what that means at all.
The desires of your heart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
For sure.
Okay, you're very passionate about going to the original Greek and Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that is all through this book as well. I know it definitely was in Mercy Like Morning. You taught how to do mm-hmm. that. I had never mm-hmm. once, as I was reading it, I remember being like at first very intimidated with Mercy Like Morning, because I was like, what is she mm-hmm. like? You got to go to a website to see what this means, and then this, you know. But yeah. Oh my goodness, did it open my eyes to be like, mm-hmm. I've never read that verse in that way. So I'm assuming this might be all intertwined into Worthy as well.
Is Bible Hub the website mm-hmm. of which you speak?
Blue Letter.
No, Bible Hub is, I mean, Bible Hub is one that I use, but Blue
which
Letter
one?
Bible.
Blue Letter Bible,
website
okay.
that I go to.
Yeah. I love it.
It's my go-to for everything.
Uh-huh.
They even have an app. But,
yeah, they have an app and they have a website. They have
so cool.
a bunch of different options for you to use. But yeah, it's not, Mercy Like Morning is super in depth in the how to. Mm-hmm. Worthy doesn't do that. It kind of assumes that you know, and it gives you prompts along the way, and it points you back to other resources to learn mm-hmm. more about that.
That's so cool.
But this is sort of assuming that you kind of know, or teaching you the basics of it, mm-hmm. but it's less technical heavy and more like suggestive of like, go look up this word. P.S. If you don't know how to do that, go download this resource on my website and I show you how.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of eliminating the fluff of it all. But I do want to say it's so full circle for me to be talking about this on your podcast because none of this book wouldn't even be written if I didn't have my 10 years of mm-hmm. reading. Because like for that whole decade, I thought that my calling was to be a mom and I was just waiting for the fulfillment of that. Mm. And God used, I have chills all over my body. God used that 10-year calling to be the catalyst to dig deeper in his word, to understand the weight and understand the things in these male-authored biblical conversations commentaries, which I'm not bashing men, mm-hmm. but biblical commentaries that are authored by men mm-hmm. about stories like Hannah's that weren't created to birth babies, mm-hmm. don't know how to speak to that. And yeah. so I didn't have like there. I was left wanting on so many different things. Mm-hmm. And so because basically specifically in the commentary field was left lacking, that's how I learned to dig and to learn word definitions and read between the lines. All that to say, that created the catalyst for what I do now of teaching women how to study the Bible the way that I do, how to dig in deeply on their own and not be dependent on other people's words. Like I had no idea that mm-hmm. this calling would come out of that weight.
Yeah.
So all that to say, to speak into the women who are waiting, who are experiencing loss, who are so sad that their story is not playing out the way that they thought that it would.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I feel like God is just wants you to know, hang on a second, because I'm actually creating this other calling that you have no idea about. And this is going to serve a purpose at some point. So anyway,
one of your word studies that you mentioned at the conference was that scripture about streams of living water will flow from within you. And you talked about that place. Can you mention that? Just because I want to give them like a practical application of when you really do a deep dive into words. You talked about right. what the word for womb. I don't know if you remember that from your notes.
How when you come to the Lord and how like the rivers of living water will flow out of you, out of your like bosom, basically out of your heart, out of your soul will flow the rivers of living water. And I think it's actually translated it as heart in most verses, but I was digging into that word in the Greek and how it can also be translated. This shocked me when I saw this. It can get also literally in the word definition, it's also translated as womb, and how like that speaks directly to so many women that mm-hmm. have a womb that is literally not operating the way that it should be operating. The way that we were created to have a womb that operates is like broken or mm-hmm. barren or whatever the doctors want to call it, you know, and how like it feels like there's no life coming out of it. Mm-hmm. And that specifically is the place that God says mm-hmm. that his rivers of living water are going to flow out of that specific part of the bowels of your body, mm-hmm. the womb of your body that feels dead and broken and not working right. That's where his rivers of living water flow out of. And I love that so much. And that's the beauty of digging into God's word. As a woman, I see that word and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. As a man, they see womb and they just think like the area of the body and it represents the bowels. But as a female studying the Bible, having walked through what I call delayed fertility, I never liked the word infertility. That's that one word definition is like a punch of like his sovereignty and his kindness of like, it's not barren.
Because
that's thrive.
You can contradict the enemy's arrows. If someone's struggling with infertility and says, my womb is barren, my womb is empty, there's nothing inside me. And you go, oh, no, well, according to scripture, if you love Jesus, streams of living water are flowing from that right now.
Yeah.
It's not empty even right now. God is filling you and can fill you.
Just like, chills. Yeah. It's so good.
It's so good.
I think you made a lot of people cry thinking about that in mm-hmm. such a wonderful way, because it's like, oh, wow. Like, something I've just considered as dead and broken is actually not. Mm-hmm. It's like actually what the Lord can and will let me use if I'm mm-hmm. willing to let him. One thing I don't necessarily know, just on your Instagram post, you stepped on everybody's toes when you posted this that says, do not call hard what I have called holy. Tell us about that.
That was that was something that God spoke to me almost exactly a year ago in deep South Alabama. I live in Oregon and I went to Alabama for a girls trip to the beach, and the beach has always been very, very special to me. We lived on Maui for 4.5 years after my best friend died of cancer. We were 8 years into trying to get pregnant and we picked up everything that we owned and lived on a tropical island to let my heart heal. That's mm-hmm. where we first conceived for the first time. So like the beach is like so special to me. So last year was an unspeakably difficult year. Like, this is a whole other topic that we could spend hours talking about the aftermath of your expectations mm-hmm. of how a miracle is supposed to look. Like, mm-hmm. Anna and I were just voice texting today about our miracle babies that are like punching each other and screaming in the background. Like, we have this expectation of we're gonna like really love motherhood, but then we have like neurodivergence and stress and all these factors that are thrown at us that we don't expect. Mm-hmm. And so I was dealing with a lot of that, and I went to the beach with a burn book. And I actually think that I have it tucked up here somewhere. Anyways, I went to the beach with a burn book of like, I'm going to write down every awful thing that I want to lament with on the Lord. Like, I just was practicing the art of lament and being honest. Mm-hmm. Like, why did you let this happen? And I waited for 10 years and I did everything right. And you gave me the most difficult personality on the planet to raise as a result of my obedience. I'm mad about that. Like, all of the things that I'm so angry about that feel so impossible, that feel like God kept picking me for the wrong, like a bully picks a kid on the playground because he's weak and he thinks it's funny to watch him fail. That's how I felt like God was like choosing me for all the hard things.
Yeah.
So anyways, I was sitting on this beach at the back porch of the house, a beach house in Alabama, and God interrupted my conversation as I was like right in the height of my lament. And he just like dropped these words out of my pen and onto my burn book, basically. And he said, don't call hard what I've called holy. And it just like even when I say it now, it like everything in me stills when I say that, because it's not to say that this is hard. And I'm not like, we're not gaslighting the fact that motherhood is hard and miscarriage is hard and loss is hard. All these things are impossibly difficult, but it's also holy, because when we take it to God and we hand it to him, he makes it holy, and he's called us to carry these hard and holy things. Right. And so it's like, I actually was shocked because I was just reading an Acts and I saw the same, I didn't know that this was language anywhere in the Bible. This is what just God spoke to me. And then in Acts, God spoke the same exact thing. Do not call blank what I call blank. He used that formula when he was talking to Peter. And Peter had this dream and he's dropping like this sheet out of the sky of all of the unclean things and foods that the Jewish people were not allowed to eat, that Peter had never touched in his whole life. And God's like, here, take and eat this. And Peter's like, never, I'm never going to do that, God. I've never done that. And God said, do not call common what I have called cleansed. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's the same language that God used with me. And I had in the margin of my Bible, I had this thing that says God is retraining his mind. And that's what he did with me. And in that moment, he's taking my mind and retraining it off of the fact that this feels so impossible and it's not fair and I'm so mad about this, and onto his holiness and the fact that he has chosen me for this, to raise these children, and that they have a story and he has a testimony and he's writing their thing, and this is part of it, and it's all holy as long as I can trust him to hold it for me, you know? So anyways, yes,
it's so good.
It's a bomb dropper for and sure.
Was some of that the foundation of Worthy? Did that go, or that'll be in?
No, actually that's going to be in my second book.
I have two books coming out. Nice.
Worthy comes out July 28th.
Okay.
And then my second book is through the books of Ezra, Esther, and Nehemiah. And that comes out next April.
Oh, so
that's so exciting. So a little, you know, got to keep in touch for that purpose too.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite part of Worthy? We only have a few minutes left, but like something that you're like, okay, this is my favorite part of this.
Honestly, I had the experience of teaching five women at a local church. I took them through just the Colossians portion of it. And it wasn't even the content that I wrote. It's just the fact that I'm providing a framework for women that replaces the Bible study habit. I create a framework of basic study principles, read, observe, cross-reference, all these things. And there was one woman that I taught that she's been doing pre-written Bible studies her whole entire adult Christian life for 45 years.
Wow.
And I gave her this framework. It wasn't even the content that I wrote. I just gave her the framework of how to study through these books. And she texted, it wasn't even 24 hours later. She texted the next morning and she was in tears because she had never experienced God the way that she did in her Bible through her study from the basic framework that I gave her, because it took her outside of somebody leading her through these guided questions of what they wanted them to see. And then turning to these passages and letting God show you what he wants you to see. So it wasn't anything about the content that I write. I'm most excited about those experiences of women that have been living their Bible study life for 45 years and then all of a sudden encounter God for the first time in a brand new way because they're actually letting God direct their study for the first time instead of trusting somebody else to, like, they're putting on Jane Johnson's arm floaties and going to swim in the water.
Yeah.
They're taking those off and they're learning how to swim themselves. And
that's
like, oh my gosh, it gets me every single time.
So. Because the word of God is living and active, and it becomes alive in their life. Yeah. Well, where do we find Worthy?
Yeah, tell us where to find Worthy. And one thing, it helps you become so excited to keep digging in. That is what Mercy Like Morning did for me.
Fires
for
you up.
Teaching in that certain way and all those things you say to look for. But yeah, makes you excited to see what else the Holy Spirit has to say. Sorry, I just want to say
totally.
That. Tell us where to find Worthy.
That's exactly what Luann said. She sent me this long thing. She was in the Bible for 2 hours. She was studying for 2 hours. And then she was like, I cannot wait to come back tomorrow morning and see what God has waiting for me. So yeah, you can digmywell.com/worthy is where you can go. And you can pre-order on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and basically all the places you can buy your books. And then when you pre-order, go to the website and upload your receipt. And there's free gifts. I have a worship playlist that's curated for all songs about His worth and a handful of other things. So
I love that. Thank you so much, Jane. This was that time just flew by. But I encourage anyone, just go ahead and pre-order this book. At the time this airs, it'll only be a few weeks away that it'll be coming out. So I'm just honored to get to talk to you about it before it's out. And thank you so much for being on again today.
What a blessing
Thanks
you are
for having me.
You guys, we'll see you next week on Hannah's Heart.